Time now for Real Estate with Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. Now, here's their host, Warren Franklin.
Welcome to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence. We have another great show lined up today. You're always welcome to call Mariah or Spence at the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group to discuss anything about real estate. Their number is 503-507-3666. So let's get the show started today. Today we're going to discuss getting into real estate, saving for your first home, and a whole lot more.
Today we are going to just continue on with our Q&A series that we started last week, where we just go down the list and answer questions you guys have asked us online. We'll be covering a wide variety of topics, from getting into real estate, tips for buying and selling. There's a little bit for everyone, so be sure to listen until the end. You don't want to miss anything.
Yeah, really good stuff. And this past week, life has been full of good stuff because we are in March Madness, but also a lot of people forget the NCAA wrestling tournament. The Nationals were on last Saturday, and man, I saw some really, really good wrestling, some high-class, high-quality wrestlers out there, and that 125-pounder that won it from Iowa won it with two broken ACLs. So wow. He's missing an ACL on his left leg, and he just tore his ACL 2 weeks ago prior to the tournament. So Shout out to that Iowa Hawkeye. You are a tough stud. So I had to put that one out there on air. So if you're not listening, or if you are listening, go look him up.
It wasn't a beaver then, huh?
It was not a beaver. It was a Hawkeye. Iowa Hawkeyes. So, but Mariah, let's get back to the show.
All right. Oh, by the way, before we get into the questions, another little sidetrack, quick plug. We are also on Spotify or wherever else you listen to podcasts. So if you're listening to this on the radio or YouTube, you can listen in podcast form if you prefer that as well. Mm-hmm. So
new shows weekly.
Yes, every week. All right. So biggest advice for someone looking to become a realtor full time.
That's a super good one. So we're just going to go back and forth mm-hmm. when we have these questions done. So best advice for someone looking to become a realtor full time. I think my best advice could be look at the other agents in your office and see what they're doing, because a lot of our business is not necessarily copying people, but when you're new, it's like joining a new job. You don't necessarily know what you're up to or what you're facing. So when you're in the office, observe. I reverted it back to when I was in the wrestling room. In order to learn a new move, you first had the instructor group you up in a circle and demonstrate. Now, you got to watch the people around you and see how they're demonstrating their business, how they present themselves, how do they talk. And if you have questions, go to their office, knock on their door, talk to your principal broker. So observe your atmosphere, and you're going to become a whole lot better realtor for it.
That's good advice. I would say my biggest advice is just having proper expectations coming into it, because I know we've talked about this on, we did a previous episode. I think it was like common myths that people have about real estate or something like that. And there's a lot of things that aren't necessarily true out there or misconceptions. So just having right expectations about what it is you actually do when you're getting into it is super important.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. It's not always rainbows and unicorns out there. Question number two. Number one tip for saving money consistently for a house. Ooh. What's your number one tips of how you would save money to purchase for your next house?
My biggest tip for saving money for a down payment for your first house or even for your next house is two kind of go together. One is having multiple savings account, which I'll explain why. But my second is opening a separate account, preferably at a separate bank where you don't usually bank at, that you don't have a card to, you don't look at, you don't use it for anything. And it's only for real estate investments alone. So this isn't your emergency saving fund. This isn't your travel saving fund or your kids' college fund. This is solely for real estate investments. And that's why I say have multiple savings accounts, because your other savings you can have for all that other stuff. But this one, you don't touch it. You don't look at it. You just contribute to it every month, however, you know, much you're able to do for your personal income. And I think that definitely is for us, has been the biggest thing, has been having that at a separate bank. Don't have cards for it. It doesn't exist, only for real estate.
Yeah. Leave it and forget it.
Mm-hmm. Set it and forget it.
Yeah.
All right. How long does it take to buy a house?
Well, right now in today's market, when I ask lenders what the average closing dates are, they're recommending about 45 days. 45 days to get a home from accepted offer to close. Conventional lending, that used to be 30 days. We're still doing days in 30 or sales in 30 days. Cash sales, obviously, that's a different timeline. You got cash, just get your inspections negotiated and paperwork filed with the state. But generally, rule of thumb, 45 days, and that's a VA home loan, USDA home loan, FHA, and I tie in conventional loans with that as well. What you could do in this buyer or seller's market is when you are looking to write an offer, give a call to the seller's agent and say, what is going to most benefit your seller? And hear that seller agent's response. Some sellers want to be in the home for longer periods of time before it closes. Some sellers just want to get rid of it ASAP. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes it's important to the seller, though. So an addendum isn't added on to the sale agreement, making paperwork go even further and just making your client more favorable. So that's why I usually tend to go 45 days or sooner in the verbiage, just so that opportunity to close earlier is presented in there.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Also take into consideration the amount of time it takes to get an offer accepted, because right now in this market, a lot of buyers are writing a lot of offers and a lot of really, really strong offers, but it's just taking a lot of offers and houses to get that one accepted. So that could take some time right now.
Walk into it with the right expectations for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next question. Is it true that it takes a certain type of person or personality to succeed in real estate, or can anyone do it?
I don't know. I mean, I think that I don't know if this is necessarily a like a personality trait, but I do think you need to be someone who's like self-motivated and a self-starter, because you're an independent contractor. You're basically running your own business here, and there's no one telling you what to do. And a lot of people would probably have a hard time, getting themselves up in the morning and forcing themselves to prospect and make their calls and do what they need to do if no one is actually making them do it.
Yeah.
So you've got to be good at managing yourself and really disciplined, I guess, because you got to have discipline to manage your schedule well.
I think that's a good word, discipline, for it.
Mm-hmm.
And how that fits both of our personalities just based off our background. I've mentioned this at the beginning of the show, wrestling, that must be on my mind today. it's just part of my background, wrestling, discipline, and just having that self-motivation. If you're not self-motivated, then what's going to make you get up at 6 a.m? You know, you could sleep in every day, ideally, and make a deal. Mm-hmm. You know, you really could in this business. But what's going to push you and make you want to make more money or help more people, reach out to more clients? Because ideally, your phone is going to be silent because you are a secret agent. Don't be a secret agent. Go out there and be the agent. Get your name and voice heard to help others.
All right. Let's answer the next question after the break.
Yeah, let's take a break. You can always get in touch with Mariah and Spence at the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group by calling 503-507-3666. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Welcome back to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. Here's their host, Warren Franklin.
We're back with Mariah and Spence with the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group. You can contact them at 503-507-3666. Let's continue our conversation about getting into real estate, saving for your first home, and a whole lot more.
We got a lot of good questions, and we're going to start off this segment with another good one that a lot of people are seeing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Mariah, what if my offer is rejected?
If your offer is rejected, then it's back to the drawing board. You move on and you're on to the next house. I know I wrote up two offers for two different buyers over the weekend. Both were rejected. One was about $20,000 over asking, and which you might think that's a pretty good offer, but We've actually, this one particular client, we've actually written quite a few offers, $20,000 over asking, and it's not that as great of an offer as you might think in this extremely competitive market. So if your offer's rejected, you move on. Something that I also like to do is ask the listing agent if there was something we could have done to improve our offer or why it wasn't accepted. And I did that with one of my buyers this weekend, and the reason that it wasn't accepted was because another buyer had a really, really big down payment and our buyer was only putting a small amount down. And so that is something that, you know, it does make it a little bit stronger of an offer, and the seller just felt like that was a little bit more competitive and safer. And so obviously that's not something we can change. If that's the max you can put down, then that's all you can do. But what am I trying to say here? I guess what I'm trying to say is, well, if your offer's not accepted, then we just ask the listing agent if there's something we can approve, then we do on the next offer. If not, we move on to the next house.
I really like that advice, though. Mm-hmm. Ask the listing agent how maybe I can improve my offer next time, or just what did we not do to get us rejected? Seriously, and that little maybe one sentence answer will tweak your next offer and get it accepted for your next property you like. Mm-hmm. So that's a good one.
What does an average day look like for you two individually and together?
Okay, so I'll go individually. Okay. Right now, since we got our one-year-old, she sleeps in the same room with us, and she generally wakes us up at around 6 to 7 a.m., but she does so by crawling on you in your face and just tapping your nose, actually shoving her fingers wherever they can fit. But this morning, I got to tell this story real quick. She was so cute. Everybody's asleep. We're asleep. And it's about 6. I hear her, you know, waddling around. But I'm right beside her. And she gets up and she gave me a little kiss on the neck. And then went back into her little dock-a-tot bed.
So sweet.
And just fell back asleep for the next hour. I was like, what the heck? These kids, they know, like, you're here for one, but then they show you affection when you don't ask for it or deserve it. They truly love you. So parents, feeling discouraged, your kids do love you. I had a moment with my daughter this morning. It was fantastic, and I loved it. But we wake up usually about 7. My goal is to be at the office at 8:30, and I dedicate at least 3 days a week. 3 days a week, at least 1 hour to my cold calls and prospecting. It could be writing letters, could be calls, could be door knocking, but whatever it is, 1 hour at least to prospect. Generally, that's me cold calling. That's majority of my prospecting methods. And I do so from usually 9:30 to about 11. So that's kind of my time. And during that, I'm turning my phone on silent. When I'm making those calls, I'm not answering anybody else. I do it. I put my head down and I do it. And I'm leaving voicemails. If I get a text back, I leave it and I reply to it later. From there, it's rolling about 12. I can then answer emails, get back to texts that called me and calls that called me during that prospecting time. And that'll take sometimes an hour, hour and a half. And then I lead into, well, what are my current listing appointments? What are my current buyers searching for? How can I send them more homes to view? So I take that time as in, how can I help my current clients that are looking to purchase or sell a property? From there, if I don't have a listing appointment or showing that afternoon, we're rolling into about 1 to 3 o'clock now, then I am focusing on my current transactions. Mm-hmm. Because if we're not taking care of what we currently have in escrow, how's it gonna get to the closing table? And if I've signed up and I've representing my sellers or buyers, you know I'm going to be making the calls. I'm going to be in contact with our escrow agents. I'm going to be in contact with the lenders and stuff like that, the buyer's agents. We got to maintain our current transactions and get them to close. From there, it's going to be winding down 4:30, 5 o'clock. I can go home. And obviously, if calls come in, texts come in, email come in, I'm going to reply. That's my rule of thumb. Nobody gets left behind. It's unexcusable. You cannot be in this business and have a missed call and not return it. Mm-hmm. Have a missed text and not return it. Mm-hmm. Because A, that's just making it a statement saying the person reaching out to me isn't valuable. And if they're taking their time to reach out to me, then of course I'm going to get back to them. That is the responsible and right thing to do if you're in business. Mm. And so that's what I spend the evening on, and I'm not afraid to work in the evening. I call myself the 24/7 agent. You know, sometimes I got to be responsible. My wife can't yell at me that bad, but, you know, I got to turn it off at some point. But that's what my day looks like.
I like it.
Yep.
So what kind of credit score do I need to buy a house, Spencer?
Yeah, so lenders, I mean, when you're looking to purchase a manufactured home and residential home, generally they're going to require you to have a 620 or higher. If you're in the lower sixes, we're going to want to work on it. 500s, you're going to want to work on your credit score. These credit scores affect your interest rates, and it's just going to drive and skyrocket through the roof, and that's ultimately going to make it so you can't afford your monthly payment, ultimately leading into your debt-to-income ratio. So credit scores, sadly, do they lean heavily on your home buying process. So if you got a low credit score, let's work on that. Let's talk to a lender. Let's figure out what we can pay off, what we can pay down on. That doesn't mean pay off all debts. We want to be educated because sometimes there's good debts to have. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we want to be talking to a lending professional when it comes to dealing with your credit. So rule of thumb to get pre-approved for a loan or just start the pre-approval process, 620 or higher is what I hear from my lender.
That's good.
So let me find where we're at. So what is your favorite thing about being a real estate agent, Mariah?
That's a tough one because I feel like it's all my favorite thing. I just love, I really do love even the things that are what most people would say that they hate or dread about the job or why they would not want to get it. You know, I hear a lot like, oh, I would never be a real estate agent, or that sounds terrible because of the things that you have to do. And to me, even those things I really enjoy. So I don't know that I can answer that. I love everything.
Well, I'll tell you what I love about being a real estate agent. So I'm an assistant wrestling coach at Cascade High School. I love being able to find the time to help out with the community and get those kids involved with sports and do something that I'm passionate about as well. But then I also get to be at work as in real estate. So my time in the managing of that is super important. And having the ability to make practice at 3:30 or go to the tournaments on the weekend, that doesn't mean I'm not working. So new real estate agents, people thinking about getting into real estate, don't misinterpret what I'm saying, because I'm managing my time differently during those seasons. And that just means I'm putting more hours somewhere else. And that could be later, it could be a lot earlier, it could be 5 a.m.s now. So I got to manage my time differently. Mm-hmm. But I love my job because I get to be able to go out with my daughter or coach wrestling and do things that I'm passionate about as well, but also make a living at and be the head of my house and pay my mortgage. Right. You know, it's fun to do that.
Right. So. That's true. That's good.
Well, let's take a quick break. You're listening to Real Estate with Mariah Spence with the Fetrus Crawford Realty Group. You can contact them at 503-507-3666. And when we come back, the real estate tip of the week.
Welcome back to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. Here's their host, Warren Franklin.
We're back with Mariah and Spence with the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group. You can call them at 503-507-3666. Before we get to the real estate tip of the week, we've got one more topic.
We got a couple minutes left, so I'm going to ask Mariah this. And this is something that is basically required with all real estate transactions, and that is, what is earnest money?
So earnest money is, I like to think of it as an engagement ring, because it's something you put down to show that you're serious about buying the house. So it's different from your down payment, because it is good, huh?
Really,
I heard,
good.
I can't take credit for that. I heard it on Prep Agent.
Okay, thank you.
He said that. Yeah, so.
Clarifying.
But anyway, I think it's a really good way to explain it. Basically, it's just to show that you're serious. So your earnest money is going to sit in escrow until we close, and it will go towards the cost of the home at closing. Mm-hmm. Basically, this is something that, unless you say in your offer that you want it to be released immediately and non-refundable, which is something you can do to make your offer stronger in this competitive market, but generally, unless you do that, you will get it back as long as you back out during that 10 business day inspection period. And you can back out for any reason. It doesn't have to be because of inspection. You could not have an inspection and still back out and keep your earnest money as long as it's in that inspection period time frame. However, say you back out, you know, after that inspection period, say you back out like 3 days before closing for no reason, then the seller is going to keep your earnest money. And for good reason, because you tied up their home and put them in a really bad position. And nowadays, if a home has been on the market for, you know, even 30 days, someone's going to assume there's something wrong with it or assume they can get a deal. So it really does hurt the seller.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
What is a reasonable amount of earnest money?
Well, that definitely depends on, it all depends on the price of the home. What would you say, Spencer?
Sales price. I've heard 1% of the sales price. Mm-hmm. Generally, rule of thumb is you want $2,000 or more. Of course, if we're dealing with a manufactured home or $30,000, let's go $500 to $1,000. But rule of thumb, if you're dealing with a regular residential home, the average price in Salem is about $346 right now. Mm-hmm. And that's, you're probably wanting to put $3,000 down.
Yeah.
That's generally what I'm seeing on my offers when we're receiving them. But say you're dealing with a $700,000 home, I would clearly expect to see a lot more.
Oh yeah.
At least $5,000 to $10,000. And once again, buyers, this is going towards your overall down payment of the property. So, and sadly, but it is true, the Oregon sale agreement is written in the buyer's favor in regards to earnest money.
It's really not that risky to write an offer.
So your money in reality, unless there's just a big no-no, it's going to probably come back to you if there is so happens to be a fail sale.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's get to our tip of the week, Mariah.
Okay, I will try to be quick because we're running short on time.
Yeah, all 2 minutes. So, we're good.
The tip of the week, I wanted to make it relevant. This is something that actually just happened to me over the weekend. About a week ago, I went to go do a video tour of a townhome in the Portland area for a out-of-state client. And he wasn't in the area, so I just videoed it to him. He loved the home. It was perfect for him, perfect side of town and everything. And this townhome had been on the market for about, I want to say like 30, 40 days at the time. And that in this market is a little bit of time. And so it wasn't a competitive situation. So he decided he loved the home. He wanted to fly out to see it in person without, usually my clients will write an offer sight unseen without actually seeing the home based off my video. But this guy wanted to fly out and see it in person, which I totally understand if that's what you want to do. But by the time he got here, it was about 5 days later. And no offers. When I saw it 5 days later, it was in a multiple offer situation. So when I first went to look at it, it would have probably been fine to do a full price offer. But now that's definitely not going to fly because there's multiple offers. It's competitive. So my tip of the week is time is always of the essence in real estate. Even if a home has been on the market for, say, 30 days or even longer, and it looks like it's not competitive, time's always of the essence because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. It's never a guarantee, and especially in this market. Mm-hmm. We've heard it before. Oh, I supposedly have 4 offers coming in. Mm-hmm. Or the seller's agent says, nope, no offers. But as you guys just heard, we heard there was no offers, 34 days on market. Guess what? 5 days later, there's 3, you said?
Yeah.
So time is of the essence. It doesn't mean panic buy, but it says be there and have urgency.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're going to do it, let's work through it. Let's get a good game plan and pull a trigger.
Hey, that's it for this week. Thank you for listening to Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. You can hear their show every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. You can contact Mariah and Spence at the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group at 503-507-3666. That's 503-507-3666.
You've been listening to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence right here on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.